Hello and welcome to The Moment. I'm your host, Cleo Berry, the host with the absolute most. And if this is your first time watching our show, let me tell you a little bit about what we are. The Moment is a hybrid, a talk show slash podcast that films in the heart of Hollywood at the heart of Hollywood. Now, each week, guests from all areas of entertainment will stop by to discuss current events, the ins and outs of their industry, and especially the lives they live. But most importantly, each guest will dive into the moment when they discovered their passion in life. Now, this is our award season episode. So the Grammys and the Country Music Awards, everyone has put out their nominations or they're having their respective award shows. And so I thought to myself, who would I like to be nominated for a Grammy sometime? Who would I like to win a Grammy? And this guy's name just instantly popped into my head. He has performed internationally around the world for a decade. He has 7 studio albums, over 20 million views on YouTube. His latest songs, Husbands and Not My Problem, are currently rushing up the charts. Everyone, please welcome Tom Goss!
This is the moment, moment. Let's be clear. This is your moment, moment. While you're here, this is the moment.
Hey everyone, welcome back. We are here with Tom Goss. Ah, I've been wanting you on my list. I told you when you texted me, you were on my list of people to come to the show.
Great.
I'm so happy that this worked out.
Me too.
Like, people need to know more about your story, your music. I think it's fantastic. So let's dive into it. First off, what was the moment when you decided what you were going to do with the rest of your life?
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting question because it's like, I think my moment, if there is a moment where I understood what my voice was and what my mission was, it was many years into my career. I'm in Jackson, Mississippi.
Okay.
It's probably 2010, so it's pre-marriage equality. Mm. What a time. And I had made this record called, it was definitely 2010, because I made this record called The Politics of Love. It was a small EP. And it was really when Obama was running for his first, and I was living in D.C. at the time, so politics was very heavy. Everybody talked about it all the time. And when Obama ran in 2008, you remember it was like Obama, McCain were fighting all the time, and Palin and Biden were fighting all the time. And there was a point in their debate where there was one thing that they agreed on, and that was that gays shouldn't marry. And so
I don't even remember that. Holy crap.
Yes, that happened. Wow. Because that was the milieu at the time.
Right.
They were like, what do you think about gay marriage? And they were like, yeah, we hate it. Okay, cool. Moving on to the next question. Like, there was nothing really said.
No discussion.
So I wrote a series of songs, one of which was about Prop 8, one of which was about that moment in the debate, one of which was about marriage equality in D.C., which Marion Barry was the only person who voted against it, and it was about city council. And then it kind of felt like a really angry record, but I wrote a more kind of, my way to do it is to like be reflective.
And of course, more, absolutely.
Yeah, so it was like a reflective piece called You Don't Question Love. And I was in Jackson, Mississippi in this dive bar. Full of smoke. It was also, you couldn't smoke anywhere. And then you could in Mississippi still. So it's like full of smoke. I'm on stage, probably playing to like 15 people, you know.
Beginning.
You're hustling. And after the show, and I just got to, it becomes really uncomfortable when you're like singing gay love songs in places that aren't
Jackson, Mississippi.
Yep. In places that aren't queer. We take it for granted now. All pop stars are queer. Everybody's queer. Just like, it's in the milieu of the thing. Mm-hmm. But back then it wasn't. And back then it was really a risk. And back then it was dangerous.
Right.
And so I was toying, as I was going on this tour, as I would sing these songs and be uncomfortable, I got to the point where I was like, you know what? If I get the shit kicked out of me, I don't care. Like, my purpose is to be authentic to who I am.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
And if I say that beautifully and vulnerably and somebody rejects that, that's on them.
Right.
But if I cloak my authenticity in hopes of winning somebody over,
right.
did I really win that person over? Because who are they loving?
Right.
They're not loving
right.
me.
Oh my gosh,
they're loving,
yes.
They're loving yeah. some other version of me that I've created to appease them.
I can see how that like speaks to you and makes you feel like this is what I'm here to do. Like regardless of anybody else, F you, like this is me.
This is who I am. Yeah. So after that gig, I played that song, You Don't Question Love, and I'm at the merch table, and this woman comes up, mm-hmm. and she's telling me how much she loved the show. She buys CDs, and mm-hmm. and she's with her husband, who she dragged to the show. You know, he didn't want to go to some, like, dive gay bar
right, with right.
some gay musician, mm-hmm. right? He yeah. didn't want to. And after the show, he, like, comes up to me, and he shakes my hand. He's like, hey, man, I really didn't want to come here tonight, and I really didn't think that I would ever connect to any music about two men loving each other and gay music, but that song, You Don't Question Love, that was sounded exactly like my relationship, and I get it. And I was like, bingo.
You see what authenticity gets you? Keep at it.
Yeah.
Back to you. So that's beautiful. That's amazing. I want to take us out of that, and I want to take us here. This is our award season episode.
Okay.
So when this airs, it'll be Grammy time. It'll be all these types of things. You've won some awards yourself.
Sure.
What's your favorite award that you won and why?
Well, I just won the favorite Bear musician
Hello.
At Bear World Magazine
Hello.
Last year. So
Hello.
It's got to be that. That's
perfect.
It was so fun. And I sadly was doing some shows in Europe when they had the award ceremony. So mm-hmm. I couldn't go. But I made an entire bodysuit with my face. And then I had somebody go, and he was just wearing my face. It was hilarious.
What?
It was wearing an entire bodysuit of my face.
On your face?
It was to receive the award and walk the red carpet. So, like, I was there.
That's hilarious. And now we're on this subject about bears. What does the bear community mean to you in your music, your career?
For me, bears have always been super supportive, even before Bears came out. Bears, the song came out in 2013. My mm-hmm. first record came out in 2006. That is 7 years
right.
of touring the country. That is 7 years of putting out records.
It's hard.
Yeah. And when I would go to these cities, there were always bears in the audience because, I mean, I'm like a gay guy with an acoustic guitar driving a Subaru. You know, like, I'm like...
I can't. Bear
yeah,
meat.
Yeah, I'm like, exactly. And so when I... What had happened at the time was bears were really on the periphery at the time, and they were just starting to come into media. You had the guys, making the Bear City movies, and you had the guys making Where the Bears Are web series. And at the same time, this kind of bear community was growing. I was like, you know, I really wish there was a really... well-produced song and video for these people in the music sphere, because it didn't really exist. There were other musicians like Freddie Freeman and the Bearpalooza that were like doing this kind of thing, mm-hmm. but they didn't have the money or the budget or the means to do that.
Right.
And I really thought
it's in the corner to market.
No, I wrote a love letter to the people that I love.
Come on, you better explain it like that. Yes,
I just
love
did.
That. I love that. Yes.
You make it sound like sneaky.
I had never heard about like the bear community until listening to your song. So like,
and that's true for a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's true for a lot of people. Yeah.
Okay, so it's 5 minutes before you're going on stage. There's a big audience outside, you know, waiting for you to come on. Like their anticipation is high. What are you backstage doing?
I'm probably not backstage. I'm probably giving
Where you
people
at?
Hugs.
Aww.
Like, it's really... I can't express it enough. Like, this is my family.
Mm-hmm.
I am on the road with the people that I love. I hate the word fans.
Okay.
Because it's like... I went on that tour. I would go on tour for years. and not spend a dime on lodging. Literally, I would show up in a city, have no plans, and someone say like, come stay with me tonight. Let me take you out to dinner. Let's do this. I would meet these people. I would hear their stories.
Wow.
I have just an enormous family all over the world as a result of this. And so when a show happens, sometimes I'm like, I don't even want to perform. Not because I don't want to perform. Of course I want to perform. But because there's people are walking in the door and I'm hugging them.
You just want to be out there with everyone.
Yeah, and I just want to like eat their faces. I don't know what that means. But you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I want to be in their energy because I miss them. And so I go from city to city to city being with people that I just love so much. So I'm probably in the audience giving people hugs and kisses and talking about their family and talking about their dogs and talking about their mothers and fathers and meeting their mothers and fathers and then finally going, oh, shit. Or somebody on stage being like this. I'd be like, oh, shit, I got to get up there and play a show.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your process of creating a song?
For me, like, the classic way would be sitting down with the guitar until a chord progression strikes me as something in my soul. And then it kind of sometimes, like, for instance, the song that I referenced, You Don't Question Love, it's a song on the piano. And I was thinking about this EP, this 3-song EP is angry. And it doesn't reflect how I feel about the relationship that I have with my husband and the all-encompassing healing power of that love. Mm-hmm. And I was doing laundry. And I had making lunch. I was heating up soup. And I was doing laundry. And I was, like, carrying some laundry. And I looked at the piano. And I was just like, I think I got it. I think it goes, You Don't Question Love. And I dropped the basket. And I went over there. And I just was like, You Don't Question Love. And I'm not kidding. Just played the entire song.
Shut up.
Weeping. Wow. And set it free, and I just played the entire thing. I don't know why my hands did what my hands did. I don't know why my melody did what my melody did.
Right.
Weeping, frantically writing it down so that I remember it. And then I write it down, like, whew, that was cathartic. 3 minutes later, realize that my soup is burning upstairs. So I run upstairs, and I'm like, oh my God, I take it off. It's like a delicious curry soup, right? Spicy curry soup. I'm like, and I'm like, I want to eat it. Now I'm hungry. And I go take a soup. And I go to get a soup. But it's burning because it's on the stovetop. Drop it. Goes from the soup into my eye. Now I've got spicy curry soup in my eye. I had a glass of water. I grab the glass of water. I start running up the steps to wash on my eye. And I'm like, what am I doing with this water? I set it on the steps. I run upstairs. I wash out my eyes from the burning curry in the soup. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I'm like, oh shit, like, run down the steps, step on the glass that I had just put on the steps.
My gosh!
Fall all the way down the steps, water's everywhere. That's how you write a song.
Well, each video you have tells a unique story that grabs the audience's attention. Where does it come from? How are you coming up with these sort of vignettes of life?
It comes from being authentic to your voice, saying something important.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a risk in saying that thing that's important and making something that's really quality. And I think that's all there is to it. And that sounds really simple, but the truth is I've done those four things and had videos not be successful. Mm-hmm. So there is just also like being lucky enough to get in the algorithm or being lucky enough to have like the Daily Beast pick it up or something like that.
Right.
I think also, you know, in the same way that there weren't music videos about bears when we made music videos about bears.
Heck no.
There weren't trans people in music videos when I started putting trans people in music videos. Right. There weren't, like, gay people of color when I started doing it. Like, the things right. that I've consistently talked about, marriage equality, it just wasn't happening. And that's a little harder today because there isn't that kind of shock value.
Right, everybody.
The press isn't going to be like,
yeah.
Oh my God. Can right. you believe he just did that? Mm. You know? So, but it doesn't mean that there's not a million things that people are afraid to say. But if you believe in a thing and it's important to you and you see the world is afraid to put it out there, then say it.
Say it, y'all. Put it out there and see what happens. You might get millions of views. Okay, so people know you as a musician. A lot of people don't know that you've been acting.
Mm-hmm.
and you've been doing it for quite a while. Are you gonna, you stop though? Are you coming back in it? Are you
I'm currently on a television show on Here TV called Not So Straight and Silver Lake. And the third season, which is actually a movie, is releasing in a week or so, actually. So that's... The truth is, acting's not my passion, truthfully.
Hey, that's... Yeah. That's fine.
And I really respect it, and I think it's great. And if somebody, primarily a friend, says, hey, will you, do you want to do this with me, and I don't have to go to an audition... Then I will say yes.
I mean, won't we all, hell, won't we all do that? You recently spoke about Dave Matthews, and I just want to know, like, who are the other artists that inspire you not to get into it, but to just keep going? Whose career you've been at it for a while? Like, what keeps you motivated?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing, because it would be, like, early on, before I had a career, before I even, I would say Dave Matthews really was my obsession in college, early college, and as a result, I can play the guitar, and I can play the guitar well.
Wow.
But my songs, when I was only listening to Dave Matthews Band, were horrible, really horrible, because he is who he is, and he's so uniquely that, and I was trying to emulate that, right? And it wasn't until I started listening to, like, David Gray and Damian Rice and Jack Johnson, who are doing really simple things. And when I realized, like, oh, I'm overthinking this, right?
Mm.
And then recently, like, I'm obsessed with Emily King. Like, super obsessed with Emily King.
Did you do a show with her, or?
Oh, my God. Oh. Can you put that into the,
universe?
Yeah, do it again, do it again.
Emily King, Tom Goss in concert, yeah. Hollywood Bowl. Yeah.
I was obsessed with Childish Gambino for a long time. Like, it's just... Music is amazing. I'm inspired by all sorts of different people.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Now, you briefly mentioned this, but I caught up. We hopped over it. How did you go from wrestling, sports-minded, to the college scholarship, to the seminary? Like, what was that transition?
I think I just was like, there's got to be something more than this.
Mm.
And so for me, after a couple of years of that, because when you're doing a sport in college, it is your life.
Right, absolutely.
So I was like, there's got to be something more. And I started really getting involved with the Newman Center, which is the Catholic Campus Ministry. And really was like, God, this feels better. We're talking about things. We're talking about philosophy. We're talking about theology. We're interested in social justice. We're interested in the global... the world at large,
okay.
Right? Different cultures, different ideas. And so for me, I was like, that's super cool. And I was always, you know, my parents they don't have a relationship at all. They hate each other and it's horrible. And it's always been really, really traumatic for me.
Oh.
And so for me, at a very young age, I shut that part up. Like, I remember walking from my mom's house to my dad's house and just being in so much pain and saying to myself,
what age?
10?
11? Wow, okay.
But I remember this moment of saying, I'm never going to be in a relationship. I don't want to chance bringing a child into this world and causing them this much pain, the pain that I'm in right now.
Oof.
Yeah.
Gosh. Wow.
And so I didn't date. I wasn't having sex. And so the idea of being a priest was like...
Fit in.
Yeah, I would get to work in social justice, and I would get to work in reconciliation and humanism and interreligious dialogue, and these are all things. And I would get to travel and move around and live in different cities. It seemed to make sense for me. Yeah.
Okay, so you've been here since 2015. You've made some big strides. Your views, music. What's next for you? Are you going to try a different...
I don't know. I don't really know what's next for me.
And that's okay, everybody. It's all right to sit and wait for it to come to you, or, you know?
I think, truthfully, let's be really honest. Mm-hmm. I'm 43 years old.
Okay.
I'm in the entertainment industry in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
That is rough, mm-hmm. right? I think that I'm on the precipice of some big changes. I've been doing some writing and producing. And I am going to do a little more of that. So I'm finishing up a screenplay and working on a couple other things that are a little bit more multimedia, or in it as a cog in a wheel of something bigger, saying something really big with a bunch of other people. Because, you know, I just got off the road. I was on the road most of September. It was great. My tour was awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm tired. You can't do it all on your own.
Right, the road life is a tough
The road life is hard, and I've been doing it all on my own. I have no manager. I have no agent. I have no promoter. I have no bus driver. I have no merch salesman. I have no roadies. It is me doing everything, and I love, love, love it for the reasons that I've already said, but, you know, I can't do it forever. And also, there's so many young people doing it, and voices change. There needs to be new voice. I'm not saying my voice isn't relevant anymore. My voice will always be relevant to the people that connect to it, and I'll always continue to make music. But when you're young and when you're hustling in the industry, there's this idea that you're going to reach some sort of level,
right,
so that you don't have to work so hard anymore.
Right.
The truth of the matter is if you're independent, if you don't hit that blockbuster movie, that level doesn't exist. You're always going to have to hustle. And so I think my hustle is going to change. I think also, like, you know, I'm not sure LA is going to be my home for forever.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm not sure what that looks like. But I'm going to be spending a lot more time in Spain in the upcoming year. I've been working on some European touring, which feels a little different, looks a little different. I've been building on that for the past couple of years. Awesome. So
that's beautiful.
I don't know, but it's gonna be fun.
That's all I know. I've been writing a lot too, so maybe as a friend I'll call you up and tell you to bring me a song now. You know? Everybody, please be yourself and fall into your dream. And make it happen. Don't listen to outsiders. Just go for it. Find your niche in life and knock it out of the park. That's what you did, and I'm so thankful that you're here.
Thank you.
The most Hey there, and welcome back to The Moment. I am Cleo Berry, your host, and we are here with Tom. This is our game segment. So tell us your charity, who you're playing for.
So I'm playing for Charlie's Place, which is a service center for the homeless in Washington, D.C. And I worked there for a long time, and it's still very near and dear to my heart. And I just been thinking about that.
Okay, Charlie's Place, there it is. So we're going to play a like-ish game. They're not paying us, and we're not paying them, so it's ish. So you're going to act out.
Yeah.
You have some actions and some movies, I believe.
Okay.
You get to pick as you would like to.
And what are the rules?
No talking.
Okay.
Although. And then if I answer five within a minute and a half, we'll donate to your charity.
Okay, so I'm going to go back and forth, okay?
Okay.
When does that time start?
When you're ready. We're ready. And begin.
All right. Can't stand, can I?
I don't think. The framing. Is he in the frame? You're driving. You're motoring. Scootering.
Mm-hmm. They're like.
You're dancing.
Mm-hmm.
You're whipping.
Pass.
Binoculars. You're looking at something.
Oh.
Photo, camera.
See?
You're filming.
Mm-hmm.
A movie.
Yes.
Hey! Ha! Ha! Ha!
Okay. Oh, sorry.
Running.
Mm-hmm.
Across.
Mm-hmm.
Over.
Mm-hmm.
You're running.
I know, I am. Okay, pass.
Okay.
Oh my God! Pass.
Let's make it good. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Hopscotch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's start. Killing a cab.
Yeah.
Hey! Ah!
Nope. I gotta do that one. Oh. That's impossible. Let's do it this time. Oh.
Five. pulling milk, assembling milk, milking a cow.
Yeah.
Hey. Okay, so
now I have four.
That's okay. That's generous here at the moment. Now we have a first season budget, but we're generous. Okay, so we are going to donate to Charlie's Place on your behalf, anyhow.
So. Right. So should I tell you the ones we missed?
Of course.
Okay. So ran was great, but it was run. It was the past tense.
Okay.
I know. Like running and it was ran, right? So I was like trying to be like, and I can't.
Oh, because it's a movie.
Oh, because it's a movie.
Right, okay. I don't know what movie that is, though.
Alice in Wonderland?
I don't know. And there's no way I would have ever guessed
that. Building a sandcastle and riding a carousel.
Did I get the carousel?
No, you knew I was riding. But I was like trying to go in a circle.
See, we were there on the road.
We were
together.
There. We got real close. Uh-huh. We got like four and a third of one.
Good job.
Thank you.
Okay, so we had a great game segment. You did well. Charlie's Place is coming with a little donation. Before we end this, what advice do you have for a musician who's trying to carve out their own niche in the music industry? You've done a wonderful job of creating your
Thank
own.
Thank you. I mean, I think for me, it's like, you just have to be authentic.
Absolutely.
You really have to be authentic to who you are and what's important to you.
Okay.
And that's it. You can't be anybody else. You can't try to duplicate anybody else's sound. You can't try to duplicate anybody else's lyrics or their voice. It's like, you know, it's kind of cliche to say, like, everybody's taken but you.
Right. But it's true.
But it's also true. And, even if you manage to create something that maybe goes viral, right, that's inauthentic, that is going to be a flash in the pan, as opposed to an actual real connection with an audience and listeners and yourself. Yeah. You wouldn't even know who you are. We see all these teen actors and singers that go through all of this drama.
Yeah, the Nicole and the Nicolette. Yeah.
Because they're living their life to please other people, and they're not really being authentic to themselves. And I think if you're first starting off, first I would be like, why? You know?
Like, why? I can't.
Like, do you want to be famous?
Right.
Then probably you should do something else.
Right.
You know, because it's probably not going to happen. But do you have, like, this passion, and do you have something to say, and are you willing to be authentic to your art and to your voice in order to do that? And if that's the case, then how can I help, you know? But it's a difficult career, and so you really have to be grounded in who you are in order to have longevity in that career.
You heard that. Be yourself, and longevity will soon come your way, hopefully. All right, thank you, guys. Thank you so much for coming on to the show.
No problem.
I am so thankful that you carved out a little time out for me and for us and my audience. And go listen to his new album. And Issa Rae, thank you again for teaching us to network across instead of going up. Your lessons are invaluable. And this seat is waiting for you whenever you're ready to come sit in.
You know I'm in Issa Rae's studio.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so my old studio, like her old studio is my studio. She still gets mail there. Should I say this on camera? I don't know, whatever. Sometimes I just like walk in the door and there's Issa Rae's mail there, or somebody trying to send mail to Issa Rae. She's not there anymore. And I'm just like, oh, so close to greatness.
You know what? I'm going to take this as a sign from the universe to keep going. And Issa girl, I will see you soon. Or Alicia Mill. All right? Thank you, guys, and we will see you next time on The Moment. Bye.
This is the moment, let's be clear. This is your moment, why you